And when you look, it's kind of the same today, isn't it? You see people that hear the message of Christ, our King, being born. It's proclaimed abroad as Christmas is celebrated, and yet not everyone is as excited about it as others are. Why is that? There's really only one journey that will lead you to see Jesus.
The following is from Rock of Ages Lutheran Church in Payson, Arizona, reaching out with rock solid hope in Rim Country. January 7th, 2018. This message is based on Matthew 2, verses 1 to 12.
How many of you were excited for the solar eclipse that happened last August? Guessing some of you were. It's a pretty big deal, right? A total eclipse that went across 11 states from the west coast all the way to the east coast, seen by lots of people, was a big deal for a lot of people, right? And yet for some it was just another day, right? For some of us, or some people you might know, maybe it was just you glanced out your window and saw a little bit of dimness in the sky and moved on. I bet for those that were excited about it, it might have been a little frustrating. How about the upcoming lunar eclipse? Did you hear about that? Something that's going to happen in 3 weeks. In fact, it's going to be the first total lunar eclipse on a blue moon in 150 years that you can see in Payson. So some people are pretty excited about it. But are you still excited about it when I tell you that the eclipse starts at 4:48 a.m.? Maybe not all of us are going to get up to look at it. And even more so, there are other events in the sky, such as alignments of the planet when you hear the brightness of many planets close together, or comets that are coming by close in orbit. You know, I can't even tell you what the next one is or what the last one was. But some people are excited about it. Maybe they get frustrated when people like me don't seem to care, or at least don't take the time. What about with the Magi experience? The anomaly in the sky that they saw, they got excited about that. What about the people around them? There wasn't so much excitement from what they found and what they encountered when they shared what they saw. And they weren't just excited because they saw some star in the sky, but because of what it was pointing them to and what God was revealing to them. And when you look, it's kind of the same today, isn't it? You see people that hear the message of Christ, our King, being born. It's proclaimed abroad as Christmas is celebrated, and yet not everyone is as excited about it as others are. Why is that? Well, we're going to see our answer as we look at God's Word this morning in Matthew chapter 2 as he speaks of the Magi and the journey that they take. And there we're going to learn and we're going to see there's really only one journey that will lead you to see Jesus. There's a lot of questions and mystery, right, about these Magi and the star that they saw and the situation they encountered in Jerusalem. All we have is Matthew tells us that Magi, translated for you here, wise men, came from the east and they arrived in Jerusalem and they were on a mission. They were looking for the one who was born King of the Jews. How did they come to know of this? How did they know about Christ, and how did they know about this time? Well, it appears that they probably had some prophecy of the Word of our God. In fact, the place that they came from very likely was about 1,000 miles off to the east of Jerusalem, in the land of what is now modern-day Iraq. And this 1,000-mile place that they were located in was ancient Babylon. And hundreds of years earlier, God had sent tens of thousands of Jews to the land of Babylon. And men like Ezekiel and Daniel carried with them God's word. And Daniel himself, who was even labeled a magi, a wise man, that is someone who's a wise counselor to a king, had the scriptures, shared the scriptures with his fellow wise men. And when the Jews were allowed to go back, many of them stayed in Babylon. And generation, you can imagine, after generation held on to the prophecy of God's word, and the Magi had access to that word of God. And so it appears that these Magi paid attention to the prophecies in Scripture. because they knew there was one prophesied who would be born in Israel, a king of the Jews. How did they know now was the time? Well, evidently, they were given a sign by God, it appears, that was unlike any sign, any vision in the sky anyone had ever seen. A light, a star, it says, that indicated for them something was happening. God set that special light for this occasion. And maybe, too, they maybe looked at the prophecy, which is written long before the time of the Magi, in the book of Numbers, which says, I see him, but not near. Speaking of a king of Israel. He is coming, but not now. He is distant. A star will rise out of Jacob. A scepter will come out of Israel. Maybe the Magi held on to that prophecy, or another like it that we don't have for us today. But they knew, and God indicated for them with this special sign that now was the time for this king that prophecy spoke of. Talk about a journey. You see what the Magi are doing? They are going, it seems, 1,000 miles as they travel to find this king. And as they travel, they are looking for him on the basis of prophecy. And really, it's a journey of faith. Of course, when they got to Jerusalem, they had to have been dumbfounded. Where's the one born king of the Jews, they were asking. The response they get was confusion, turmoil, and perhaps apathy. Nobody in the land of Israel had heard and known about this king. Nobody was evidently looking for this king. And to me, that's dumbfounding when you consider that it's just under 2 years earlier that the shepherds saw that vision of the angels and the glory of God, and that they went about telling all who they had seen of all the things they had heard and seen. And all who heard the shepherds were amazed. And yet, 2 years later, you hear nothing. And when they brought Jesus to the temple, how Anna and Simeon prophesied regarding this one born to be the light to the nations. And still, even the scribes and the chief priests, it appears, are not looking for a king, are not anticipating anything, are not even moved by the message of the Magi. Doesn't that sound surprising? That they would journey so far, these Gentiles, to find Christ, and there in the land of Israel, where they had the word of God, they were not looking for him, were not expecting him, and pretty much responded with apathy or fear. But should that surprise us? When you look at the world today, no, God isn't sending some anomaly in the sky right now to point to Christ, but he is proclaiming the message, a king has been born. After all, that's what was done throughout the world in the Christian church with the celebration of Christmas, right? And the message is going out with Christians everywhere and with churches being proclaimed, a king has been born. And yet, what's the response that you see in so much of this world? In places where the scriptures were once clearly taught, there is now indifference. People who are not looking for the Christ, who are not excited about something they should be excited about. And you also see in places where the Word of God is found a feeling of indifference or apathy and no searching. Isn't it sad that there are Christian homes, places where the parents have the Word of God, but they're not excited about passing it on to their children, so that children can't even explain their faith or what they believe if they hold to the Christian truth. Apathy, indifference, starts to take over. Imagine when the Magi made it to Israel and the people in Jerusalem were thinking, a king? Herod's the only king around here, and he's not a king of the Jews. He was not born a Jew. He was born an Edomite, and he wasn't born a king. He was appointed by the ruthless rulers, the Romans. There's no king of the Jews. There's no one on the line of David. There's no hope, and really, no faith. Giving up on prophecy of Scripture. See, the problem is how one views Scripture. Even in some church bodies, yes, some of them taking on a name like ours, Lutheran, deny prophecy of Scripture. People that will say, where the Word of God is found, they'll say, yes, Micah says that the Christ will be born in Bethlehem, but Micah really wrote that several years later, if it was even Micah that wrote it. And that was just wishful thinking by the people. And this whole idea of a virgin birth, that's not necessarily what happened. Prophecy could never bring that about. And the prophecy of a light, a star will come out of Numbers, that's just also wishful thinking. The book of Numbers was probably written by someone else many years later. And so the power of Scripture and the reality of prophecy is set aside. Much like the scribes and the chief priests sitting in the temple of God near the palace of Herod were saying, yes, he'd be born in Bethlehem, but nothing to get excited about. That couldn't really happen. Not today. But should we be surprised when we see this in the world around us? When our hearts too begin to take in that thinking, begin to intellectualize the study of Scripture rather than viewing it and journeying through Scripture to find Jesus. And not just journeying through Scripture, but like the wise men journeying through Scripture with the eyes of faith, we might begin to think, well, yes, there's prophecy, but I don't want to get too excited about it, spend too much time digging into Scripture, go too far to chase after finding more about Jesus. We begin to follow that same mindset, which, yes, opens Scripture and looks at it. And like the Magi, has an intellectual end, but maybe not the excitement over prophecy. When the Magi made it, those wise men came to Jerusalem, they basically got to a dead end, right? The people knew nothing. No one could direct them anywhere. But God, I believe, brought them to that dead end for a purpose. That their journey had to be, as it was from the start, through the Word of God. The only way you journey to find Jesus is through His Word. And that they might understand that, God brought them to that dead end. It was only after they were told in Bethlehem, only after it was pointed out through Scripture, the prophecy that the Messiah would come and the King would be born in Bethlehem, that they could go on their journey. And it's only after they heard that prophecy and had that direction that God then made the star reappear so that they might know this journey to find Christ comes through Scripture and through trusting in the prophecy and the Word of our God. You know, when you look at a solar eclipse, you kind of have to use special equipment. There's really only two ways. You can use one of those projection boxes that'll show you an image, or you need to put on those specially certified solar glasses, right? Otherwise, it's not really a good idea to view a solar eclipse. You look at that strange anomaly in the sky with anything less, and it can damage your vision. I was reading an article about a woman that did that. She didn't have any of those glasses, so she borrowed some from a stranger next to her. And sure enough, she found out a couple days later, the center of her vision started to disappear. Evidently, the glasses she borrowed weren't legitimate glasses for viewing a solar eclipse. It was too late. The damage was done. The same with Scripture. Yes, you can look at Scripture, and there you can find Jesus. But if you view Scripture without the eyes of faith, it's damaging. And Scripture is undermined. And the excitement's not there unless, with the eyes of faith, one trusts the promises and prophecies of God and sees the Word of God fulfilled. Those scribes, the Pharisees, evidently many of the people living in Jerusalem had the Word of God, but didn't journey into Scriptures with faith, didn't trust it. Today, the message is clear. God has made it known. And the wise men found what they were looking for. With great joy, it says, they saw the star and they followed it. And there, after their long journey through Scripture and with the eyes of faith, they saw Jesus. Prophecy fulfilled. And they saw him just as prophecy spoke, right? There was Jesus, not surrounded by attendants, not in a big palace, but alone with his mother in what I would imagine would be a humble house in the small town of Bethlehem. That's what prophecy spoke of, the one born King of the Jews. And when they saw that, they worshipped him. They knew that this one born King of the Jews would be the one to fulfill all of prophecy, to be the one to bring peace for all people. With the eyes of faith, they saw that child, and they bowed down. You and I, with the eyes of faith, journey through Scripture, and it's there we find Jesus. With the eyes of faith, we see the one who, many years later, the same group, the scribes, the chief priests, would condemn to death, just as Herod wanted to kill. They chose to, in jealousy, to put him to death. But with the eyes of faith, we journey and we see Jesus fulfilling prophecy, the king who was born to die for his people, the king who was born to take away all of our sin, that we might trust in him. And prophecy was fulfilled as Jesus, our king, rose to life so that someday we're going to see a sign in the sky. And we're going to see an anomaly take place as the heavens open up and all the glory of God is revealed with the Son of God, our King. And all nations will worship him. And our journey of faith then will be complete as Jesus, born a king, always a king, will come to bring his kingdom and his people home. You can only take that journey through the eyes of faith. And you can only take that journey as you look at the word of our God in Scripture and find it revealed. As we look forward to celebrating our Epiphany season, we'll be following Jesus as he goes from this humble house in Bethlehem up to the Mount of Transfiguration and more. We'll take that journey as we dig through Scripture and find the prophecies revealed. And we'll take that journey with the eyes of faith, recognizing this King, this sign, this event, is something to get excited about. Amen.